Baptism Sunday, I got to tell you a story. It's probably the craziest baptism story you've ever heard, okay? So the guy, one of the guys that mentored me in ministry, his first church that he pastored, it was kind of in Central Texas. It was a Baptist church, and he went there, and they hadn't had a preacher in a while, and they hadn't had a baptism, and nobody even remembered when. And so he was excited about going to this church. He led a woman and her son to the Lord in the community. And so they kind of set up a time for them to be baptized on a future Sunday. Now, remember I said it's a Baptist church. So one of the details, if you've ever been in one of these churches, you kind of know because they all look similar. Kind of an A-frame shape, you know, worship center. And then there's the back wall. And the baptistry is built into the back wall. You ever seen this? And there's kind of like a curtain that covers it whenever it's not being used. It kind of looks like a puppet show, right? It's kind of behind the pastor. And there's always this little plexiglass ledge that is there to kind of so you can see through and you can see the baptism taking place. That's an important detail, just that little plexiglass little ledge. And so this mentoring figure of mine, he led this little lady and her son to the Lord, and so they came on Sunday morning ready for the baptism. Now, they had started filling the baptistry waters the night before, but in the filling of it, they discovered that it had been so long since they had a baptism that the heating element in the pump that circulates the water and keeps it warm was just dead, but there was no resurrecting it, no getting another part for it. But they thought, well, you know, we'll kind of gut our way through this. It was in January, by the way, which, you know, Central Texas is not just freezing, but it's still cold. And the water was cold. So the little boy goes first. And so the pastor's down in the water, and he's kind of welcoming the little boy down in. And like little boys will do, he just kind of hopped down in the water. And as soon as he hopped in and felt that cold water, he just went, oh, blank. To which my pastor mentoring figure said, you know, just try to put, well, yeah, it's cold, and that's why we're getting baptized today. You know, we're trying to follow the Lord, you know, and so they did that one. And then the mom wanted to come down into the water. Now, another detail in the story, she's a full-figured gal, and so when they were looking for, like, gowns to put on her baptism gowns, they couldn't find one to fit. And so somebody said, hey, I tell you what. The tablecloth on the Lord's Supper table, we can take that off and go toga style and just kind of wrap her up in that, and we can do it that way. And so somebody thought that was a good idea, and so they what they went with. And so she comes down into the baptistry waters, and another thing, they didn't really kind of compensate, right, for like the buoyancy of people. And so the water's rising, and everybody's watching the water rise. It gets right to the top and stops. So he says, okay, so he's going to go through the baptism. He goes through the formula, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and starts to take her back to take her under the water. Well, she goes back. It is cold, and just the whole circumstance just caused her to panic a little bit. And so she reaches up, and she grabs him by the collar and pulls him toward her. Now, what she doesn't know is he's got on, like, duck waders, because that's kind of what they did back then. When the preacher would get in the water, he'd have only suits still, and he'd have these duck waders. Well, as he tips over, then water starts to fill up the waders, which adds weight to him, and so he kind of presses down on her. Well, now she's going under, and she's really panicking, so she rolls, and now he's under the water, and he rolls. And they start this crocodile death roll. They're just going, boom. There's a deacon standing on the edge who's been helping people in and out of the water. Pastor's in trouble. So he dives in. Now there is three in this tiny little space. And they're just rolling, 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 rolling. Well, in all of the commotion of that, not only had the toga came off, but her bathing suit top had come unhitched. But nobody knows because they're in this is rolling, 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 rolling. And all of a sudden, she kind of gets to a place where she can get a solid foot, and she stands up, throws her arms over the plexiglass, pressing herself forward, says, oh, my God.
people.
I don't know how they went on with the service, but somehow they did. After it was over, she came walking up to him. He's going, oh my goodness. She doesn't even know how to apologize. So she walks up and she goes, "Preacher, here's the thing. My mama was late and she missed my baptism. Can we do it again next week?" No, we cannot. So today we got a couple more baptisms, and we're hoping and we're praying and we're believing God that nothing like that is going to happen, right? These are going to be awesome. All right, so I want you to take your Bible, open with me to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to kind of tee up these baptisms so that we can celebrate with them, and also the Lord can speak to us as we participate in their baptism. So Matthew chapter 28. We've been in a series on the life of Jesus, and we've been, you know, talking about just the different dynamics of his life and his ministry, and a life that epic, like Jesus' life, has to be broken down into seasons. So that's what we've been doing. If you're new, season one was during the Christmas time. Season two, which we just finished, was his growing up years, which kind of concluded with his baptism. We're going to kind of reach back into that for just a moment today. But then also, we're going to look forward, because in the next season of study in Jesus' life, we're going to talk about his ministry years, but in particular with this kind of theme in mind of follow me. Jesus would often say to people, follow me. And so we're going to learn over the next few weeks what it's like to really follow him, to be his disciple. But this morning, we're going to explore that just a little bit, just to kind of tease our interest and whet our appetite just a little bit, as we're going to talk about baptism and discipleship. And then specifically, here's the thought that I want to put in your hearts and minds this morning. We're going to talk about baptism, but from this perspective, raised to live changed lives. Raised to live changed lives. We're going to look at another verse at the end of our time together, Romans 6:4, that is this kind of this declaration of baptism, that we've been buried with Christ in baptism. But then it says we've been raised to walk in newness of life. And what I want us to think about today is, listen, new life is changed life. New life is changed life. I was, a few years ago, was on the phone with a person who had called our church to ask a question about our congregation, our beliefs, our practices. And as they were kind of pressing in with their question, I could tell they were really trying to kind of push me on, listen, like a hot button cultural issue. Like what is our stand on this issue? But they didn't come out and just ask that question. They were kind of asking some other roundabout things. But I could kind of sense like a trap was being set for me. And it was either a trap wanting to know whether or not we would be, you know, on this end of the spectrum where we just kind of say yes to anything and everything, or am I going to be on the other side, just kind of hard-edged, no compromise? I could just tell somebody was setting a trap for me. And so in the conversation, I said, listen, I'm not sure what you're asking, but let me just answer your question this way. We are a congregation. You're asking, you know, who's welcome? We are a congregation of people who recognize that we all need change. We gather under the name of Jesus, recognizing that Jesus loves us and he has a holy ambition for our lives, and all of us need to change. And by the way, the person who needs to change the most in the whole church is me. So we all need to change. In fact, if we kind of get at discipleship at its core, the call to follow Jesus is really the call to be changed and the call to live out a changed life. When Jesus calls us disciples, followers, He has in his holy ambition that we would become people conformed to his image, to live like Christ, have character like Christ, be like Christ. And in order for that to happen, we've got to change. So in Matthew 28, Jesus gives what we call this great commission. Verse 18, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. This is Jesus talking. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, disciple. Jesus says, make disciples. The only verb in that paragraph is making disciples, which means this is the preeminent passion of Jesus, that we be shaped into Christ's likeness, that we be followers of Jesus, that our life and our character is in alignment with his. That's his ambition, to change our life to be like Christ. Disciples. Now, in fulfilling that obligation as a church to make disciples, there are two things that he mentions. One of them is baptism. Baptize all disciples. The word baptize in the Greek is baptizo, which literally means to immerse. And we would say to immerse in water, but the word itself is just immerse. It was used as an example in like the garment industry, where cloth would be taken and it would be baptized into dye, so that a cloth that was white now becomes yellow. A cloth that was white becomes purple. It takes on the likeness of the substance in which it is baptized in. The word baptized is immersed. That's why when we practice baptism, you'll see in a moment, it is by immersion, because that is what the word means. And last week, we talked a little bit about what is the significance, what are the meanings that are attached to Christian baptism. And so when we looked at Jesus' baptism, we made these points. We said, first of all, when a Christian is baptized, it is a proclamation of their open relationship to Jesus. They are going public with the fact, I am a follower of Christ. I'm not ashamed of that. I want my heart and my life to be aligned publicly and openly with Jesus. And so when we see the baptisms this morning, it's a confession of the fact that person's saying, I belong to Christ. The second thing is there's a symbolism that comes with baptism that's powerful. It's not meaningless, it's meaningful. And one of the things that it means is that the baptism is a representation of Jesus' story. That he came, he lived a holy life. And he was able to offer his life as a substitute for ours. And so he goes to the cross and he is executed on the cross because of our penalty of sin. And the Father accepts that payment and raises him back from the dead. And so there's a symbolism of Jesus' story in baptism, but there's also symbolism of our story. Because every person, according to the scripture, is born dead in their sins. And we have a need to be forgiven. And so the testimony of baptism is that we are dead in our sins, but God's grace, his goodness, has come to us in Christ. We've now received life in Jesus, and we have this brand new life. And so the immersion process is a testimony of not only Jesus, but what God has done in our life through Christ. The third kind of significance of baptism we highlighted last week, which might have been new for you, is the fact that baptism provides for us like a first step in our new journey of following Jesus. And that act of surrender kind of initiates the whole direction of our walk the rest of the days we have with Christ. We said last week, there are some things that God puts in our path to do we don't even understand. It doesn't even make sense to us. But we still obey and we still surrender to God no matter what. And so baptism is like early training. It's the training wheels of following Christ as we are initiated into a life of following God, saying yes to Jesus, even at times when we don't understand. Now, and the fourth, we didn't talk about this last week. We saved this one for this week. The fourth bullet point to understand baptism is that baptism demonstrates, man, our commitment to live out the changes that Jesus has made and wants to make in our lives. Notice that Jesus says you baptize them and then you teach them to obey all the commands that I've given. And so there is an expression here in baptism that aligns us with the reality that we are confessing in our baptism a commitment. Yes, God has changed us. We'll own that change. We will live out that change, and we will pursue all the changes that Jesus wants to make in our lives, because change is part of being a disciple. Change is part of being a disciple. When we are raised to walk in new life is a changed life. That's what it means to be a disciple. I love this quote from a book, Real Life Discipleship, by author and pastor Jim Putman. Here's what he says. A disciple is one who follows Jesus and is being changed by Jesus. As we follow him, we are being changed by him. Man, that is truth. Every true disciple is being changed by Jesus. And that's our responsibility, to own those changes. Because listen, the gospel of Jesus is really good news about change. Jesus is changing our life. Jesus wants to change our life. It is a gospel of good news of change. Now, it's good news, but listen, the reality of it is it's also kind of hard. Because if you remember Jesus, and we're going to look at some of these stories when we move forward in this new season of studying Jesus' life, there are times that Jesus invites people to follow him. Hey, come on, follow me. And whenever they square up to the call of Jesus to follow him, then Jesus will say some hard things. Like, you want to follow me? Okay, go sell everything you got. And then come back and rejoin me. Oh, you want to follow me? Well, you got to hate your father, mother, sister, and brother. What? I love my family. What do you mean? Hate my family. You have a house, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In order for you to follow me, go get rid of your home and come back and talk to me. That's hard stuff. And sometimes what we do in a hurry to try to explain Jesus, we try to hurry past some of those things and not make it so hard. But it's hard. And not one of those kinds of things that Jesus said that was hard did he repeat to everybody. They were all specific to individuals, which means that Jesus wasn't trying to issue like the requirements of salvation. He was just pointing out to every person, listen, you can't be opposed to change. You can't come to me and say, oh, I'm willing to let you change this part of my life, but not this. Oh, no. It's got to all be on the table if you're going to follow Jesus. Because remember, a new life is a change life. And we have to be open to receive all the change that God wants to do. Man, that's a bad gospel right there. Right? That's a challenging gospel. A few years ago, I was in Home Depot, Lowe's. I was looking for a saw, power tool, a saw. And I thought, I need a reciprocating saw, you know, that kind of has the blade on the end of it and kind of goes like it. Because the job I was doing, I think that's the saw I need. So I was there shopping for, you know, the power tools for a saw. And so I'm kind of looking at this one. I kind of go in, pick it up a little bit, read a little bit, back up, look at this one, kind of do the same kind of thing. Well, all of a sudden, a guy comes right up and stands right next to me in this aisle. My first thought is, okay, he's got to be a salesman, because ain't no dude going to come up and just stand right here in your space like that. So I kind of peek over, no vest, no tag, no hat. He's just another dude in the store. So I kind of keep doing my shopping thing, and he goes, hey, you don't want no sissy saw, do you? No, I do not. This one right here, It's a beast. Guess which one I walked out with? I went with a beast. I don't care that it's $200 more. It's a beast. Plus, I ain't walking out of that store with a sissy saw. You know what I'm saying? Jesus' gospel is no sissy gospel. It's demanding. It's challenging. There's a hard edge to it. But it's good. And we have to be willing to just kind of pony up and say, Jesus, we trust you, we love you, and our hearts are open for you to do the work that you desire to do in us, even if it means changing a core part of who we are and who we think we are. It's all on the table, Jesus. Here's my life. I will follow you. I am open to you. Change me. That's the message of Jesus and discipleship. It's the message of the gospel. It's the message of the baptisms today. And when each one of these young persons steps into that water to just say yes to Jesus, it's a confession in their young life that they are willing to be changed by Jesus. And the first thought you may have, which is kind of like me, whenever I see, you know, 8, 9, 10-year-old, I start thinking, well, man, how much change do they need? They're a sweet little kid. But they know that their heart needs Jesus. And there's something about their confession at such a sweet age that just speaks to me. And I remember Jesus saying things like, if you want to come to me, you've got to be like a little child who's just willing to trust and surrender and change. Romans 6:4. Put that verse on the screen. For we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. This is kind of the confession of baptism, that we are aligned with Jesus in a way that recognizes that we do have a need for our heart to be transformed and changed. We died with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Remember, new lives are changed lives. It's our confession that today that we would rise to the moment. Listen, that we would answer the call and the invitation of Jesus, because I really believe this. I believe this with all of my heart. With each of these baptisms, Jesus is going to speak to us. And he's going to reveal things to us about where is it in my life that could use a change. And it's great that they're confessing their change, but I hear you, Jesus. I can't go another day, another week, without acknowledging your lordship in this part of my life. And listen, we'll never live it perfectly. Never. But there's something sweet about coming to moments where you just surrender to Jesus. Or change whatever you want to change. Because I'm not walking out of here with a sissy gospel. I want a gospel that calls me to change. So speak to me.